Welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, and got a legendary guest in the studio today. None other than all-star quarterback from Livingston Academy, Danny McCoy.
I don't know about that, Sam, but it's good to be here. I appreciate it.
All right. I'm going to jump right in. I want to give you my first time that I saw you.
Okay. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. I was an eighth grader was at a Livingston Academy, Cookeville football game, and I'm pretty sure I was in eighth grade. Heard a lot about Danny McCoy. You know, my dad's from Livingston, my mom's from Livingston. You know, really getting into football at that time. You know, I played basketball and just got in playing football. I didn't play early.
Yeah.
And so I'm watching the game, and you went around left end, and you guys were an option team at that time, pretty much. You went around left end. The end comes at you, takes a lateral step, so you decide to run. So you kind of tuck it.
Oh, this is a cool
play. Head north and south, right?
Yeah.
He collapses back on you, gets a hold of you, and I wish it was a visual and we were on video so everyone could see what I'm doing. But you turn this way, and you flipped the option to the tailback. And by that time, everybody was suckered in on you, and the tailback went the distance for the touchdown. Yes. And I remember going, oh, my gosh, as a little eighth-grade kid. I know you probably don't remember that.
But. I do, and that was Steve Taylor that ran the ball, and that was absolutely luck that even got pulled off. That's all that was. That was out of fear, that pitch.
Now my coaching sense comes into play, and I'm like, what in the world are you doing pitching that ball?
Yeah, that was not good. I'm glad I wasn't my own coach. I had a few words for myself. But, yeah, that was just pure luck and instinct is all that was.
Well,
I do remember it. I don't remember a whole lot, but I do remember that play.
If there had been a play of the day, that would have been up for play. It was absolutely incredible. So that was my first time that I, you know, kind of realized who you were. And then, of course – time goes by, and you go up to Cincinnati and play there. And we're going to talk a little bit about that process of how you got to Cincinnati. And then I was at Tennessee Tech, and we came up and played you. And you were up for the Heisman Trophy. There was a lot of media out there on that. And we had a decent game against you guys. There was no doubt. I think it was homecoming, if I remember correctly.
It was.
But you threw up about 466 against Tennessee Tech.
I don't remember that.
I do. The exact number. And I was just a little sophomore, you know, lucky to get to play. And you had a defensive end. I got a reverse and went around the other side, and that guy was chasing me. And that's when I learned that fear can be a great motivator.
Yes, it can.
I probably ran faster on that play than I've ever ran in my life. That guy was huge.
Great motivator.
So let's jump in. We'll drop back. I just want to kind of introduce everybody to you a little bit. There's so much to cover and to talk about, and this show's more about the individual, not about a team or anything like that. But let's go back to your younger days in Livingston and growing up. And, you know, you're into, I guess we call it junior pro in the Cookeville area, but you're into the small ball. Mm-hmm. Now, you played everything. You played football, basketball. How about baseball?
Yeah.
Yeah, played. I thought you played. And, in you know, a smaller school, and Livingston's grown dramatically. Mm-hmm. But at smaller schools, athletes have to play more than one sports, and you would have done it anyway, even if it was a bigger school. So talk a little bit about growing up in Livingston and what that gave you as an athlete.
Well, it kept me busy, for one thing. I mean, that's all I wanted to do ever is play ball. And usually by the end of one season, you know, I don't want to use the word bored, but I was ready to move on to the next sport, whatever it was. These kids today, you know, I don't know how they do it playing one sport year round. So back then, if you had the ability, you played three sports or two, whatever. I was very fortunate. We didn't have junior pro in Livingston back then. I don't even know if it was around here in Cookeville back then, but we had middle school ball and fifth and sixth grade ball, stuff like that. And I played that and Little League baseball, of course, in Babe Ruth, and just kept going. But, you know, it was just the way it was. And, you know, I happened to, you know, be fortunate enough to be able to play all three and carried over to high school. You know.
We're talking to Danny McCoy, legendary quarterback from Livingston Academy. Danny, common relationship we had, of course, or have, of course, is Bruce Lamb. Mm-hmm. You know, he's in your family.
Bless our hearts.
Bless your hearts.
Bless our hearts.
I'm glad you said it because I was definitely going to.
I hope he's listening.
So I got to know you a little bit better through Bruce. Bruce and I coached together. We played together our whole life.
Yeah.
And then he came up there and, you know, you guys hired him on as a coach mm-hmm. up at Livingston, and the rest is history. But that gave us the opportunity to get to know each other a little bit better. And, you know, hearing about the McCoin family and, you know, all the things was beneficial to me to kind of get to know you guys a bit better. But what sticks out to me about you guys and when you were growing up is the group of athletes that you grew up with, not only in football, but in basketball too.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the coaches that you had the luxury to play for mm-hmm. as you were going through Livingston Academy. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know, growing up and playing with, you know, first thing you think of, or I think of, I mean, a lot of people not going to remember unless they're our age or older, is, you know, you had the, I call them the Eldridge twins, Matt and Mark,
yes.
You know, and they played all three sports. They played them all three, and we played together. And then there's Dale Flatt. Dale played at Tennessee Tech, and he was a football man. He was strictly football. Dale didn't play basketball. I played a little baseball when he was younger. And then Dale got to coach together, you know, 25 years later, I guess. Well, 20 years later, something like that. And, but yeah, we just had a good bunch of guys at Livingston. And, you know, a lot of times we were around each other 24/7 because, like
exactly.
You said, Livingston was so small, you know, not that many people. Everybody knows everybody. And it was just a great, great time and great place.
I have a feeling that, you know, fun for you guys on Friday night was probably playing basketball somewhere or being together. And
yeah.
You were always together.
We were. And when we weren't playing the sport, we were together, whether it was, you know, riding around town, doing this and that, going here and yonder. And we had our little rituals, you know, before each game we were doing things. Everybody had to do the same thing. So, yeah, I mean, it was just it was a good time.
Let's switch gears just a little bit to basketball because you guys – definitely played together, and that brings in Mark,
mm-hmm.
you know, a little bit more. Mark's a head coach in
yeah,
basketball now,
sure
in Maryville, I believe, and won
mm-hmm.
a state championship or two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's chronicled you guys winning the state championship a couple of years ago
mm-hmm.
with you and Matt coaching and Lamb on the staff and legendary
mm-hmm.
season, you know,
yeah.
that you guys had there. It's incredible to watch. That fellowship that was created from a young age, you guys in junior high, had really lent itself to the success that you guys had as you grew up.
Well, when it comes to Mark, you know, we had a great basketball coach. I mean, there's a legend right there. If you're old enough to remember Coach Vaughn, I mean, he coached for, I don't know, 40-something years. And we had a great tutor right there and learned from the best. And then Mark just kind of – and I never – thought Mark would be a coach. He was kind of the last one I thought would ever be a coach, just to be honest with
yeah.
you. I thought when he went into it, I thought, well, he's not going to have the demeanor, and he's probably got the best demeanor of all of us at coaching. And he won his first year at Maryville. They won the state championship.
I believe that's right.
But he was at Oneida before that and did a great job. What little time I coached basketball, we got to work together, and he just he excelled at it. I mean, it was just – that was his calling, coaching yeah. basketball.
Yeah, and you mentioned Coach Vaughn. And, you know, I'd had some conversations when I was younger coming out of middle school. And, you know, my dad would have loved to see me,
mm-hmm.
you know, go back to Livingston mm-hmm. and play there. And it never happened. But, man, watching that guy and get to know him, just the minimal amount mm-hmm. that I did. And, you know, Matt Eldridge, I worked with him down at Smith County when he was coaching down there. And, you know, he told me I was amazed at how he didn't yell, you know, mm-hmm. a whole lot during mm-hmm. the game. And Matt told me, well, don't believe all of that because, you know, he said, have you ever seen him put his arm around somebody at the game? And I said, well, yeah, all the time.
Uh-huh.
He goes, well, what he's saying in our ear is not probably what you're thinking.
Exactly. It was not all cool, calm, and collected. I mean, Coach Vaughn, he had his ways of getting his message through, and I can't tell you how many people have said the same thing you just said about how he keeps his cool and he doesn't yell and scream. And I'm like, well, you just don't know what we go through sometimes. And he doesn't have to yell and scream to get your attention. He was a tough one. I mean, he wanted it his way, and he let you know when you didn't do it his way.
You know, along the way, somebody told me, it may have been you, along the way, somebody said to me, you know, you should get pretty excited on the sideline, probably way too excited as a coach. And I tell you who it was, Satterfield from Trialsdale, that said, you know, you gotta watch how you behave on the sideline because that's what your kids, mm-hmm. they're going to do what you do. Mm-hmm. And that was great advice for me as a young coach, not even a head coach yet. And I think, you know, Durward really did well with that.
Oh, he did excellent.
And in practice, was it different? I mean, did he?
Not really. I mean, he was the same person. He would, you know, when you didn't do what he wanted, he let you know in his tone of voice. It may not have to raise it and scream and yell like, you know, I have before, or some coaches, but, you know, he made sure he got his message through. So it wasn't a lot different than the games, you know, watching Coach Vaughn.
My wife used to ask me, you know, why do you yell so much? And I'm not yelling. I'm just being passionate with my point.
Yeah.
And trying to get it across. So yeah. I tried to cover it up that way. And it's funny, you get a little older and get a little bit more experience.
You do.
And that gets better. And,
it took me a while to learn that a little bit.
Yeah, me too. Too long. Too long. And luckily I got out before it mattered. So
I'm still waiting for Bruce to learn that. We're still holding our breath. I'm not sure if he ever will.
I don't know if that's going to happen. But we got Danny McCoy on the show today. Again, legendary quarterback at Livingston Academy, and later on University of Cincinnati. We're going to dive into that when we return, but right now we're going to take a break.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. Again, this is your host, Sam Brooks. Got Danny McCoyne in the hot seat today, quarterback from Livingston Academy, coach at Livingston Academy, former player at University of Cincinnati. So we're going to dive into that a little bit. Okay. You don't get to the level that you got to without having good, solid influences. And your family, I'm sure, played a huge role in that as you were growing up. Tell us a little bit about your family life and how your family helped you along the way.
Well, my family wasn't a whole lot different than everybody else's. I mean, mom and dad worked every day, so they were gone. You know, I had a sister. She played sports, too, so she was doing her thing. We had a younger brother, but he was about 10 years behind both of us. So, you know, he was kind of off to the side doing his thing with toys while we were doing our thing with school and sports. So we weren't a whole lot different. I mean, it was, you know, play at home, and then when mom and dad gets home, they run you to the ball field or take you wherever you got to go and play the game and come home and do whatever. And, you know, then your playtime was playing with the neighbors, you know, go down the street. Which I don't think happens much anymore.
Unfortunately.
You know, everybody's on a TV now with a little clicker thing, but we, you know, our fun was go down the street, get four or five guys and play ball, some kind of ball.
Ride bikes, play ball.
Yeah.
Be outside.
Be outside.
Yeah.
That's
definitely changed some.
Okay. Yeah.
No doubt about that. So, your dad, I know, was a great influence. He supported your career.
Oh, yeah.
Along the way.
Yeah, and he got more supportive as we went on. I mean, as we went higher and higher. I mean, he was there, you know, anytime I was – I don't know if he missed a college game. He might have missed one.
Which is incredible.
That I played in, yeah, because he traveled everywhere. And then, of course, high school, he had to limit some. There's so many of the three sports. He didn't see everything, you know. But he was there, you know, in spirit. Yeah. If he wasn't there.
Well, it's amazing he was able to make his, you know, as many as he did. What, you know, what the things he had to give up just to be able to do that is amazing. So influences in your career at a young age, you know, I know you had, we talked about a couple of your coaches already. Is there anybody that sticks out in your mind?
Well, I mean, all my coaches, I mean, I had great experiences with, I mean, a little bit different with each of them and not as long with some of them as some of the other. I mean, the first one I would say comes to my mind is the one we already talked about, is Coach Vaughn. I mean, I played for him for 4 years and, the lessons that I learned that I didn't even know I was learning at the time. At the time, I thought, oh, man, this guy's beating me up, you know. But Coach Vaughn and the things he taught me, how to act, you know, how to dress, you know, things to say, what not to do, who to run around with, who not to, you know. Probably he had a bigger influence. But like I said, I had Coach Farley in football for 1 year. I had Coach Cochran, who's in Lafayette now, Macon County. He hasn't coached in a while for 2 years. And he was a great motivator and made you believe in working hard. And then, of course, head coach Watson from Salina, who came over my senior year and took over and had him 1 year. And he was a big-time influence for me. And he stayed with me. He stayed with me my whole career in college. He followed me. He'd go to the games when he could. And I still see him on almost a daily basis.
So when did you know football was going to be it? You played basketball. You're pretty tall.
Mm-hmm.
Probably had some pretty good opportunities there too, but you probably knew football was it.
Yeah, football was always number one. You know, I wanted to play football. I wanted to go to the highest level. I can't sit here and say honestly that, you know, I ever thought about playing in the NBA or, you know, maybe the MLB. Maybe that might have entered my brain for a split second or two, but it was always going to be football. You know, unless something, you know, changed that.
So you had an incredible career, and we won't go into the stats, but you had an incredible career at Livingston Academy, and you start getting recruited, and pretty big time.
Mm-hmm.
So mention a few of the schools that were recruiting you.
Well, it started out big time, but then it ended up like, uh-oh, you know, what's going to happen? You know, you had your basic, you know, your Tennessees, your Vanderbilts, the Kentuckys, people I can't really remember. But it was all, what's the word I'm wanting? It was the pre-stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there was no solid offer. No one was coming and saying, hey, we want you, we want you.
You're on the board.
Yeah, I'm on the board. And then, you know, I'm getting this letter and this coach is calling, but there's nobody offering. And basically when it got down to the signing, there was really just two schools, and it was Tennessee Tech or the University of Cincinnati, which Coach Brown Watson had taken over somewhere during the middle of, before I got there, end of that first year. And actually, I was probably 48 hours from going to Tennessee Tech or less. And then Coach Brown called me from Detroit, Michigan on the phone and basically just offered me a scholarship right then.
So you're sitting here telling me now, all these years later, that we could have been teammates at Tennessee.
Yes.
Well,
I mean, we were that close.
Thanks a whole lot.
We were that close.
I appreciate that. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Well, I think it worked out pretty good for you. And I want to backpedal here a little bit because we talked about your mom and dad, but we didn't talk about your family, your immediate family. So
yeah,
let's introduce everybody to your family.
Oh, well, you know, I've got four children. Two daughter-in-laws. Son-in-law, four grandkids. So we just, we're multiplying.
I am not going to make you mention all of them, but
we're multiplying.
At least mention the name of your wife and your kids.
Rhonda, you know, Rhonda's the wife. She's been there since day one. We met when she was in high school and I was in college, and that was it. You know, it was over then. And then we've got Brittany, Brandon, Brock, Briley. I've got that pretty down pat. And then you've got Derek, Ruby, and Hannah. Yeah.
Good job.
There you go.
I couldn't have done that.
Yeah.
So you sign with Watson. We've had Watson on the show. It is one of my, I just said, hey, Coach Brown, welcome to the show, and ask him one question, and 29 minutes later,
he's still talking.
And I'm sitting here like this. You know, he talked about going into Bear Bryant's.
Yeah.
You know, and having to go down there and tell him that he wasn't coming after he told him, you know, after he committed. Man, what a story. I was in awe.
Yeah.
I mean, but that was the fastest show I've ever had. So I can see how he recruited you and how he got you there. And of course, you fit his offense to a T. And the thing about Watson, his offense has changed as years.
Changed a lot. We've talked over the years, and I've kind of, my son played for him a little bit, and I got to know his offense now. But it's kind of, you know, vanilla down for like when we were Cincinnati, and he was just there for 1 year with me. I mean, it was an NFL offense.
Yeah,
it was NFL offense. When I got in the NFL, his compared to it more than the one I actually had for 3 or 4 years.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
And we had talked when Brock was playing for him. I said, well, you didn't do it this easy back in the 80 whatever three. You know, it wasn't this easy.
Man, it's so cool that you got to play for him and then Brock.
That was fun.
Brock was a heck of an athlete.
Yeah.
Just an incredible. I loved watching this young man play.
He still tells me he's a heck of an athlete.
He lets me know. I'm not going to argue with him.
Yeah, he lets me know.
You know, he's the type of guy that picks up any ball, well, like you, pick up any ball, anything, and get at it. So it's interesting. All right, so we've just scratched the surface of getting you to Cincinnati, and we're out of time. So I'm going to have to get you to come back and let's do another show. We'll pick up right where we left off.
Great.
And, man, I've enjoyed it. And thank you for just such quick notice.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Joining me on the show. Been real interesting, man. Great catching up. And going into retirement a little bit. Dealing with the grandkids.
Yeah,
so.
It's granddaddy daycare now. I don't know about retirement. That's...
We got Danny McCoy on the show today. Again, legendary quarterback at Livingston Academy, and later on University of Cincinnati. We're going to dive into that when we return, but right now we're going to take a break. Welcome back to Local Matter Sports. Your host, Sam Brooks, again with Danny McCoy, Livingston Academy fame. We were talking a little bit about Coach Brown, Watson Brown, you going up to Cincinnati, pro-style offense that you guys ran, and then Watson ends up leaving after your freshman year. And if I'm not mistaken, you started your freshman year. So
No. I actually redshirted.
Oh, okay.
Redshirted Coach Brown. That was the whole idea from the start to redshirt. But then our quarterback got hurt, and things didn't actually go the way they wanted them to go. And then I didn't find out till later on, years later, that they almost burned by redshirt year. You know, it was a big ordeal in there, and they decided not to, which worked out good for me. But they almost did burn it after the starting quarterback got hurt. So I redshirted and then backed up and then started for 3 years.
Wow, so they didn't even bring you in on that conversation.
No. Now, 30 years later they did, or Coach Brown did. But no,
wow.
No, he might have mentioned it. I think I take that back. He might have mentioned it in the hallway one time. If things don't, you know, go the way he wants them to go, you know, you better be ready. So
your year with him, what type of coach would you categorize him as? Is he a player's coach? Is he, you know?
Yeah, he's a player's coach. I mean, you got to remember now, I'm a 18, 19-year-old freshman. I'm in awe. I mean, I'm walking around in awe of everybody, him, coaches, and everything. But he was a player's coach. I mean, he was a great motivator. He could make you run through a wall. I didn't see a whole lot of temper, but now when you did see when he got mad, he got mad.
Yeah.
You know.
I've seen that happen a couple times before out there at Tech. It had to be at least a hard loss to hear that he was leaving. And he ended up going to
Rice
at that time. Mm-hmm. How did that take place? He brought the team in,
I found that the AD called me at home. I think it happened over, we finished the season and then we said Thanksgiving, and I found out over the telephone through the AD, it called me and said he's leaving, and we just want to make sure you're still staying, and you know, we want you back, blah blah blah, you know, we'll hire somebody soon. And no, there was no team meeting, you know.
That's one of those tough situations, when the kids are away.
Yeah.
They don't want you to find out from anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a tough one. It was a is a tough lick.
Yeah. Any conversations? I guess that's legal at that time. Any conversations with him?
No, going none. With him? None at all. I don't think it was legal. I'm not sure if it was or wasn't.
Probably not.
Probably not. I think I tried to inquire about, you know, maybe transferring, but that didn't ever get off the ground. To Rice, maybe going following him. And then actually, I talked to my dad about transferring, maybe to Middle or somewhere, because Coach Donnelly had called, but that never got off the ground either. So
yeah, and I have a feeling Cincinnati probably would have fought that tooth and nail with letting you go. Yeah. So you get into your sophomore year, and you get a new coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did that work out as far as introductions and first contact with your new coach?
It was great. I mean, he was a real good person, a real good guy. He was quiet, mild-mannered, you know, different Coach Vaughn, or Coach Vaughn, different Coach Vaughn also, Coach Brown. He was Coach Curry was just all business, you know, dot the I's, cross the T's. He never got two up, never got two down. And as far as relationship, and he was the quarterback's coach until he hired another guy a year later. So me and him had a great relationship.
So head coach that was a quarterback coach.
Yeah, he was the head coach and the quarterback's coach till we hired Coach Donaldson.
Wow, that's awesome. So you get into the starting lineup, mm-hmm. you know, as a redshirt freshman, really.
It would have been a sophomore redshirt.
Redshirt sophomore.
Yeah.
And, you know, things start clicking for you pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know,
we got off, you know, I think we went 3-0 that first year. That first year I started went 3-0. And everything's clicking, boom, 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 and then we go to Alabama. They went 10-1 that year. They were good. They're not as good as they are now, probably. I hope Alabama's not listening, but they were good. And it was hot, and they kind of put us in our place.
So this is tough. So capture for the folks out there, you're starting quarterback at Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
And you're 3-0, and you're going into the University of Alabama. It doesn't get any better than that.
I knew things were different, and I tell this story all the time. When we went to Alabama and played them, as opposed to being 3-0 who we played, when I dropped back to throw a ball and had nobody open and started to run towards the sideline, scrambling, and was just trying to get out of bounds, and their defensive tackle, I can't remember his name, he was huge. He was 300 pounds. And I couldn't outrun him to the sideline. I had to run backwards to try to get out of bounds, but I didn't make it, and he clobbered me. And it hurt so bad, and I knew right then I'm in a different world.
Well, that's pretty good explanation of my point. And you look at these guys nowadays. You know, I was talking to Burt Brown, the coaches at Tech, and he's down in Georgia on the recruiting trail.
Mm-hmm.
And he sends me a couple pictures of guys that he's talking to, you know. And I'm looking at these guys, and I'm like, is he a defensive end, you know, tight end, tackle?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kids, he's a foot taller than Bert, and Bert's 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's probably close to 300 pounds, but skinny as a rail.
Chisel.
I mean, that's changed, Danny.
Oh, it's changed. It's a lot different now. These kids now are just, you know, I'm sure back then we thought we were bigger and faster than they were 20 years before that.
And you were.
And now they're just, I mean, they're unbelievable to look at now.
And these kids, you know, you see some of them 340, mm-hmm. 350, but they have the body, especially coming out of high school,
mm-hmm.
That can handle that weight.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily something that's going to be detrimental to their health as time goes on. They're just building.
It's not obesity. It's not overweight. They're not fat. They're not out of shape.
No.
And they can run. And then the speed is what a lot of people don't understand at that level.
Yeah.
How fast these guys are.
Yeah, and you got to see that up close.
Oh, I got to feel it.
So you finish Alabama, and you guys have a good season the rest of that year, and you really set yourself up and got a lot of notoriety just by what you did that first year on the field. How was that to handle, you know, around campus and then attention from outside the campus?
You know, I didn't feel it that much. I kind of stayed in my shell, you know, around my little group. You know, the players, the football team, and you know, I would go to class, and usually I'd have a hat on. Nobody really recognized me. I mean, who I was or anything. And now if my name got said in classroom or somebody might notice, pay attention. But it didn't really faze me or bother me, and it was easy to handle because, you know, I never was really into the me part of it, the fame part of it.
Just hoopla.
You know, yeah, the hoopla. I just wanted to play.
Yeah, so. That's so cool. And then, you know, the rest kind of is history. You have a really good junior year, mm-hmm. and you kind of built, you know, those stats from the beginning time you played up there until you got to the end and, you know, being considered for the Heisman Trophy. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always wanted to ask you, never have. What's that like?
Well, at the time, I didn't think a whole lot about it. You know, we want to put you up for the Heisman. Okay, that's fine with me. They took some pictures and did what all the media people do and everything, and I didn't really think a whole lot about it, to be honest with you. It didn't put any more pressure on me or anything like that. Now, my senior season was not as good as my junior season. We didn't have as many wins. I had a couple of injuries, a couple other things, you know, didn't go the way I wanted. But, you know, I didn't really think a whole lot about it.
And just an incredible career, though. And, you know, back home here, and I started playing at Tech. And, of course, we played you your senior year up there and got drilled pretty good. And you had a big night. I think you were out at the end of the third quarter. So,
yeah, I remember the game a little bit, but I don't remember everything. I remember at halftime it was close, if you'll remember, I think.
It was close.
It was close at halftime.
It was close, but that was it.
And
coming out, that was.
I do remember this. I got a 15-yard penalty on the first play of the game.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I do, because I had been wanting to throw a certain play pass. I've been lobbying to the coaches, let's do this first play, you know. And we did it, and I threw the ball, and somebody intercepted it. Tennessee Tech intercepted it and was running back. Well, I'm not going to go tackle anybody. I'm trying to get out of the way. And this big defensive lineman for Texas trying to give me the business and get me down, and it hit me. And I was like, I've had enough of this. And I popped him in a face mask, you know, with my hand. I thought, oh, no. And they threw the flag. I said, I'm getting ready to get thrown out of this game right now. The first play of the game, homecoming, my senior year, I'm going to get thrown out. And luckily, he just gave me a 15-yard penalty, and that was the end of that.
That
would have my hands to myself.
That would have been pretty good for us and detrimental to you.
Oh,
you
my goodness. Yeah, what am I doing?
Well, that was interesting. And, you know, we saw the hoopla, of course, and supported it and back here in the local area, and it was a huge deal. You know, to see someone local go through something like that. And your career was exceptional up there, awards. You got all kinds of awards, and then that led to the consideration to the NFL. You definitely got the height.
Mm-hmm.
You got the size for that, and you kind of flowed into that opportunity. How was that, considering that option?
Well, things didn't go the way I'd planned when we went from college to NFL. I mean, what you call it, what it was, bad luck, whatever, you know, it just, you know, it didn't pan out for whatever reason. The stars just didn't line up. I mean, I was excited about it, looking forward to the draft. It had some quirks in it that year, and it didn't go the way I wanted. A couple things happened, and then, of course, got drafted by Detroit, and it was great. I mean, that 1 year that I got to play there, and I fit right in, mm-hmm. with the guys that was there, and I understood the offense pretty good. And it was kind of like college. They weren't going to play me unless they had to. Well, they weren't going to play me because we lost two quarterbacks, and they still kept me on what they called injury reserve back then.
Right.
They didn't have all these practice squads. But then some health issues came up, popped up, and boom. And then that was it.
That was it. It's got to be nice to know you had the ability, you had the opportunity, and
sure.
You made it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So many kids mm-hmm. long to do that.
Oh, I when I start, you know, feeling old a little bit and feeling sorry for myself, that's kind of where I go to. You look, I had an opportunity a lot of people didn't get, you know, and they never get. So.
Well, we've just scratched the surface, and we're out of time, so I'm definitely going to have to bring you back and we'll talk a little bit more. I really want to get into high school coaching.
Okay.
And, you working up at Livingston Academy. Next time you come back, we'll do that if you'll be gracious enough to come back.
Oh, yeah. I'm retired now.
All right, Danny. We appreciate you coming. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Sam.